Good afternoon. I'm Cassie Hall.
And I'm Kendall Singleton. It is such an honor to introduce this next speaker. She has always amazed me with her ability to capture the attention of an audience and for her talent of putting away way more Japanese food than you would think would fit in such a tiny body.
She may be short in stature, but her love for others and Jesus Christ is overflowing. She truly leaves a meaningful impact on everyone she comes in contact with. I feel very blessed to be her little sister.
She is absolutely one of the most selfless people I know. She's always kept an insanely busy schedule, but I can't begin to count the times that she has paused during her crazy to-do list and asked me how my day was going or how she could be praying for me that week.
She brightens the room with her warm smile and always encourages others with positive words and loads of enthusiasm. It is an honor to introduce to you my big sister,
my best friend,
and your 2012-2013 National FFA Secretary, as she presents her retiring address entitled Junk to Joy, Kaylee Hall.
When you hit wind pedals and steel guitar, listen to the sound of the American heart. Music on Saturday night brings a smile to your face and a tear to your eye. Sing a song about the
growing up in the Hall House, there was only one king, the king of country, George Strait. But the first time I walked into a movie theater, the king of my childhood was born. I was obsessed with Simba, and thanks to my mom, we've got plenty of embarrassing footage to prove it. Translate Southern toddleries for you. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. I meant those words from the bottom of my little two-year-old heart. Even as little kids, we just cannot wait to be taller, stronger, faster, smarter, and better than our own kingdom of subjects, who will hoist us to the top at the end of the song and bow as we make our own way to Pride Rock. Now, at the end of the song, Simba falls to the ground, and thanks to an unfortunately placed coffee table, I follow suit. But deep down, there's a part of each of us that wants to be king, and we all keep falling. You see, from day one, our hearts have been leading us on this quest for kingship. But at the end of the day, and the end of our lives, we see that all these little prizes, these jewels we've been working so hard to get to put in our own crowns, are really just junk in comparison to the joy that's available to us. What if with every shortfall and every slip, life is telling us that we've missed the mark? That our greatest joy in life cannot be earned, but comes by grace. It's time we stop playing the carnival games for a cheap prize and treasure the gift. As a freshman, you think they're ancient, but when you get there, it's really just like becoming a big kid again, and I was finally there, finally a senior. Where's the seniors at? And as a senior, I only had one more goal still left on my list, to become the state prepared public speaking champion. And today was the first round on my journey to that goal, the sub-area preliminaries, and buddy, I was ready. I zipped up that chapter officer jacket, president, slipped on my new black heels, just like the ones the state officers wore. And in keeping with chapter tradition, popped in a few Skittles for good luck and walked in to give my speech. I came back out, and let's just say, I rocked it. Best time ever. 7 minutes on the dot. Those questions they asked at the end, nailed them. This was a done deal. I walked in and gave my advisor that smile that says, hey, I've got this, and just waited for the official announcement. All I had to do was get first or second, and I was going on to the area finals. So I just waited and waited and waited to hear my name called. And then they started. In third place, from Franklin County, Kaylee Hall. What? Third place? Hold the phone. I had done everything right. I spent the past 2 months of my life cooped up in that little closet in the Ag building, practicing typing, reciting, memorizing. I had created perfection for what? Third place? More like first loser. I mean, yeah, I probably had developed some discipline through the whole research process, and I'd actually become pretty interested in urban agriculture, even kind of developed a passion for it. But you can't hang discipline on a wall or pin passion underneath your name on an FFA jacket. I was supposed to win. I had earned it. And the fact that my good was not good enough was eating me alive. So, I shut down. Just like I'd been doing for years. You see, years ago, I stopped doing things I didn't think I could win. If I didn't think I could be the best, I wouldn't even try. I dreaded the days that my sister Cassie would beg me to come outside and play softball with her. I could not make contact to save my life. So I didn't play. In seventh grade, algebra showed up, and math stopped coming easily to me. So through high school and even college, I just slipped by, taking as little as possible. I didn't learn. And as all these memories kept attacking my mind, it hit me. I was chained to performance, a pressure and a desire to be the best, to win, that left me feeling empty every time. And I can't help but wonder if maybe you are chained to performance and you feel that same emptiness. You see, this captivity to performance shows up in some ugly ways in middle school and high school. You may think to yourself, I study from the time I get home until my head hits the pillow, but I still cannot get ahead of her in class ranking. I do more drills than anybody. I work hard on the off season, but one more injury, and I'll be completely wiped off the scout's radar forever. I can kiss that scholarship to play college ball. Goodbye. I watch what I eat. I work out. I get up early to fix my hair and makeup just right, but he does not even know I exist. I come to every chapter event early, I stay late, I look for ways to help out, but I'm not an officer, so I'm not really a leader. And this doesn't just go away when we get older. We grow up and get jobs and think, man, I have put in the hours, I have earned that raise. We get married and have kids and put them on the fast track to becoming homecoming queen or prom king. We become ag teachers and coach our students to win that CDE. But what if that doesn't happen? Now, don't get me wrong. Pushing ourselves, giving our best effort, even receiving the pins and plaques that we give out on this stage, are not necessarily bad things. But joy is not there. We work, we practice, we sweat, we bleed, we cry, but at some point, our good is not good enough. And even if it ever is enough to give us that accomplishment we think we've always wanted, once we get it, it still seems to never be quite enough to satisfy our hearts. You know, it's kind of like that obnoxiously big stuffed animal at the fair, Chuck E. Cheese, the carnival. Who loves fairs? Yeah, it's kind of like that huge animal that we always wanted, but we never seemed to have quite enough tickets for it. And if we ever did, after hours of throwing darts at balloons and playing arcade games, eventually we realized we could have bought the same thing at Walmart for 10 bucks. The prize was cheap. It was junk. And the joy didn't last. So what games are you playing? What prize are you after? It will not last. Our greatest joy in life cannot be earned. And it starts when we realize that. A lyric by one of my favorite bands says that this is not about what you've done, but what's been done for you. This is not about where you've been, but where your brokenness brings you to. When we see our brokenness in the chase of the carnival prize, we see our need for something so much better. And that something better became real to me just a few months ago when our team visited a children's home and I saw this look from the sweetest little girl I hope I never forget. My teammate Lindsay was leading us in a game of four corners where one person stands in the middle with their eyes closed. The music starts and everyone else runs around the room. When the music stops, we all run to different corners and the person in the middle with their eyes closed points up, points to a corner, and everybody standing in that corner is out. We had played several rounds, and people were starting to get a little bit sneaky. We'd run over here and make a lot of noise on this side, and then bolt over here to try to confuse Derek in the middle. But at the end of the day, this is not really a game of skill or strategy. You're just at the mercy of the person in the center. And so we had played several rounds, and we're finally at the last one with two contestants left, Colton and Catherine. The music started for the final time, and they ran. Music stopped, and they ran to opposite corners. Derek raised his hand with his eyes closed for the final time and pointed to the corner. And there stood Colton. Colton was out, and Catherine was the winner. We gave her a high five, a fist bump. We celebrated a little bit. And then we ran on over back to the middle of the room to start our next game. And as we did, I noticed that Catherine was still hanging back over here, so I went to go see what the deal was. And Catherine had both hands over her mouth. And tears were starting to well up in her eyes a little bit. And Catherine said, "I have never won anything in my life." And as soon as she said that, I felt that senior FFA member rising up in me again. And though I didn't say anything, my mind was racing. When Catherine, you didn't win. See, winning is working your tail off. It's beating people. It's being better than the rest of the competition. It's paying your dues. It's getting up early. It's staying up late. It's doing extra drills. You have to earn it. You just happened to get picked. You didn't do anything. You didn't win. How ridiculous was I? See, Catherine, I don't know her entire story, but this sweet little 10-year-old girl has grown up in a really bad family situation. She's taken from her parents, and now she lives in this home. But 10-year-old Catherine had learned something that this 21-year-old child of the American Dream family had yet to learn. See, Catherine had never earned a carnival prize, but she had just received a gift of grace. When I talk about grace, I'm talking about a goodness that we can't earn or deserve, but simply treasure. See, Catherine showed me the truest joy of winning I've ever witnessed, and she had absolutely nothing to do with it. She was simply thankful for the gift of that moment, a gift of grace. Have you ever had one of those moments in your life, like Catherine, when by grace someone has opened your eyes to the preciousness of a gift? Maybe you went through a sickness, a surgery, an emotional battle where you really couldn't take care of yourself, but someone came to stay by your side every step of the way. We probably were in no shape to earn their love or their support in those times, but they gave us the gift of family. That's grace. How about the time your best friend saw the disaster at the end of a decision you were about to make, and even though they knew it would probably make you mad, you might not talk to them for a while, or maybe ever again, they loved you enough to tell you the straight-up truth, even when it hurt, and to warn you about what they saw coming. You probably didn't treat them in a way to deserve their tough love and their honesty, but they gave us the gift of truth. That's grace. Perhaps it was a teacher. Maybe even an ag teacher sitting in this room right now, who spends early mornings getting ready for labs, weekends at livestock shows, summers at camp, who's opened your eyes to the gift of FFA. How could we ever repay our ag teachers for all that they've done for us? It's grace. So what is your Catherine moment? Just like Catherine did, stop and take it in. And if we'll look for them, we will see these traces, these gifts of grace every day. Bombing a test and your teacher gives you a second shot? Grace. Ladies, ripping your nylons and your advisor makes a pit stop to get you another pair? Grace. Forgetting your jersey on a big game day and your mom brings it to school, your show animals get out of the barn and your neighbors help you put them back in? It's grace. And when we experience grace, we cannot help but pass it on. So tonight at supper, that waitress who's struggling, maybe she does not deserve a good tip. Give it anyway. Grace. That little brother or sister who asks you a million questions and drives you crazy every time you come home, maybe they have not done a thing to earn your patience today. Give it anyway. Stop and listen to them. Let them try on your FFA jacket. Grace. Today and every day, look for grace and pass it on. You know, when we have a moment of grace, everything changes. Now, for Catherine, this didn't mean that her life was suddenly perfect or her family situation would be automatically fixed. It just meant that she was able just to be a kid and enjoy hanging out with her friends one day. And we have moments of grace like that that change our mood, maybe our perspective on a situation. And then there are moments of grace that open our eyes to the truest gift, bring our hearts to life, and change us forever. Grace is not just a little prayer you say before a meal. It is a way to live. The vibrant life that we are created for is more like four corners than a speaking competition. It's more about a steady rhythm of grace that brings everlasting joy than an emotional roller coaster controlled by the wins and the losses of this life. It's more about what's been done for us than what we can do for ourselves. all the accomplishments, the titles, the offices, the senior superlatives, the Twitter followers we've been working so hard for, cannot compare to the value of the gift that we can't earn or deserve, but simply treasure. It's by grace. Failure is overcome by forgiveness. Falling short with falling in love fades away, lasts forever. It's by grace and only grace can we move from junk to joy.
Grace, only grace, can roll your dead heart stone away. Grace, only grace, can move us to a rhythm that will change our ways.
Hattie Hall, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Your love for God and Jesus Christ shines through your unwavering character every day. You're an example of care, compassion, love, and grace to all that are around you. Keep on singing, shopping, playing piano, rooting for them Georgia Bulldogs, and keeping me in line. One of my best friends and truest role models in my life, and our National FFA Secretary, Ms. Kaylee Hall.
Grace, only grace, can move us to a rhythm that will change our way.